Chapter 23, The Wrap-Up. Kylie heard the whoop, whoop, whoop of the approaching ambulance, and then a strange silence when it stopped just outside Lily's bubble tea. An EMT rushed through the back door, while another one ran through the alley, pushing a stretcher. They looked Kylie over and sat her upon it. "I'm okay," Misha told them when they approached him. Although he was bleeding, too, he was able to walk into the ambulance. "You kids be good," Janice waved them off. "I'll see you later at the bureau, assuming that you're all right. I'll call and check on you." The shrieking ambulance wound around Chinatown's one-way streets, giving the EMTs just enough time to clean their wounds and dress them. A ferocious headache throbbed through Kylie's entire head. She closed her eyes, wanting to blank out and forget all of it, but within minutes, the EMTs rushed her into the ER with her tooth dangling by a thread. A young female dentist led her to a chair where she reinserted and bonded Kylie's tooth. She slept as the dentist worked. When the temporary crown was in place an hour later, Kylie's phone, still buried in the pocket of her bloody parka, began to ring. Kylie opened her eyes and pointed to the parka, hanging on a hook on the wall, her mouth too numb to form her words well. "Seriously, you want to answer it?" asked the dentist. Kylie nodded, and an assistant retrieved it.
"Hello?"
answered Kylie, as best as she could with her lips feeling like slabs of leather.
"Kylie, it's Bill Reinstadt. Stuart called and told me what happened. Are you all right?"
"I'm fine. Just having trouble talking. I got a big bandage on my face, but I'm okay. I just got my tooth stuck back in."
She wasn't quite as enthusiastic about talking to him. There were so many questions.
"That's good. Sorry that you're having all this trouble. How's Misha?"
"He's okay. He's got a gash on his face. We both have to buy some new coats, though."
"You did it, Kylie. Not only have you exposed a horrible crime, but you've helped to solve it. Hopefully plenty of time to prepare for Thanksgiving. I'm very impressed. You guys should get your new coats and then come into the bureau. Stuart has Steve Hahn down there now, and he wants to talk to you both about the Lily folders. I'm tied up at work, but I'll stop by as soon as I can get away. Remember, you can still stay over tonight again if you need to. Just have the concierge let you in if I'm not around. Hopefully it'll be okay for you to go back to your place tomorrow."
"Thanks, Bill. I appreciate that. I guess I'll see you later."
"I did want to mention that I heard you met my decorator. I suppose I should have warned you that he was there. I know you must have a lot of questions, but for all intents and purposes, how about we keep this as our little secret?"
Emil was his decorator. She doubted it. She didn't care if Reinstadt was gay, but she did want his honesty. Still, he had been so good to her, she was going to let this go for now. Kylie's numbed lips stretched, trying to smile.
"Sure, of course. I did wonder about your zebra rug, though."
"Oh, that? That was Emil's idea. Evidently, it's very old. He didn't kill any zebras to get it. I understand how gross that is."
He sighed.
"For all intents and purposes, I suppose I should rein him in a little."
Kylie seemed satisfied. When she was finished with the dentist, Misha was waiting in the lobby, engrossed in a game on his phone. He had a full gauze bandage across his forehead. Kylie stood in front of him, and he looked up, startled.
"Oh my goodness, look at you! How you doing?"
she asked, trying to refrain herself from touching his face. "I'm okay. Man, we look like we were in a war," he laughed, ironically taking in her bloody coat and bandaged cheek. "Your tooth looks good, though," he added when she smiled. "Chelka, you okay?" he asked softly.
"I'm fine, except I can hardly talk and have a headache. We were in a war. I just heard from Reinstadt, and Stuart has Steve Hahn. Stuart wants us to come in and help with the Lily folders. They're bringing Michael Harriman in, too. First, though, I think I need to go shopping since I might scare people looking like this. It's pretty bad, even by my standards,"
Kylie said, pointing to her stained parka. "We're in the middle of a big bust, and you want to go shopping?" chortled Misha, as if this was the funniest thing that he had ever heard.
"Yes, I do, and it wouldn't hurt for you to look more normal either."
"I never look normal," he grinned.
"Glad you find this so amusing. I'm going to walk down and pick up some Vicodin at CVS.
She waved a prescription at him.
Then I want to buy a new Parker at Macy's. You can come, I suppose, if you think this is so funny. I'll meet you there.
I guess I could pick up something quick, right? Kylie still felt a little stunned, but she was already walking out the door, urging him to hurry by rotating her hand. As they crossed Neyland Street, Misha craned his neck towards where he had left his car. Satisfied that he could see the bright blue Porsche shine amid the dreary colors and the slush, Misha shoved his hands in the pocket of his tattered jacket. He would pick up the car later. They headed up Washington. For the first few blocks, they felt invisible as they walked unnoticed among meandering homeless people and older Chinese women maneuvering their grocery carts. Apparently, they weren't interested or didn't think it unusual for two young people to stroll by with bandaged faces and bloody coats. They stopped in the CVS, a drugstore nearly as plentiful in Boston as Red Sox fans, and came out with a bottle of 12 little tablets, which Kylie counted on to get her through. She popped one in her mouth as they continued on past the more upscale blocks lined with luxury apartments, theaters, and restaurants. Here, the people that passed gave them curious stares and then politely looked away. "Let's go in," said Kylie, heading to the door at Macy's. She left him in the men's department. "Give me 10 minutes. I'll meet you back here," she said. Hopping on the escalator, she headed right to the coats, tried on the first plain black parka she found in her size. Delighted that it fit, she promptly bought it. "I'll wear this," Kylie told the clerk when she paid. She transferred the contents out from her old pockets into the new parka before handing the bloody jacket over to the clerk for disposal. The woman held out a trash can, scowling as if Kylie was giving her a dead rat. The Novocaine began to wear off as Kylie rode the escalator down the main floor. As she rode, she spotted Misha sporting a new leather motorcycle jacket, preening in a mirror among racks of overcoats. He had combed his hair over his bandage and was already wearing his aviator shades. Maybe the Vicodin started to kick in, but Kylie had to admit that he certainly was good-looking. Too bad that he was too full of himself, even if he was a good kisser. She was still convinced that he was a player, just having an adventure. She was not going to let herself fall for this guy. "I see you're ready," she said, joining him at the mirror. "Shall we?" Kylie zipped up her new jacket and tied the fur-trimmed hood under her chin. She led the way out of the store, and they walked the short blocks on Washington Street, realizing that together, even in their new coats, they probably looked like they'd escaped from a hospital or a mental institution. "So tell me what happened with Lily," Kylie asked. "I asked the girl behind the counter for bubble tea. While she was making it, I asked if Lily was there, and she said no. So then I asked if I could look around at the place since I was going to write an article on bubble tea establishments and wanted to see what it looked like. But Lily came out from the back room, very suspicious. She asked me what I wanted, although she obviously had heard me. I guess she didn't buy my story," he shrugged as he talked. "She told me to get out, and I told her that she wasn't very friendly. And then she took one of the kitchen knives and tried to slice me. When I started to reach for my gun, she kicked my forehead with one of her friggin' high heels. Not nice. Then she ran into a back room and out the door. I followed her outside, and that's about when you were kicking the shit out of her and when Janice came in." "Yes, and the rest is my dental history," said Kylie, touching her new tooth. Within moments, they arrived at the bureau, where an officer at reception sent them through a security scan, and after making Misha leave his gun, he directed them to the conference room that Kylie had begun to think of as her satellite office. Stuart was waiting for them, filling out paperwork. "Kylie, Misha," Stuart greeted them like old friends. "You two just can't stay out of trouble, can you?" The Vicodin was definitely working. Kylie was starting to feel great and gave him a wide grin. She touched her bandage and gave him her best smile. Still, a tiny bit cockeyed from the Novocaine. "Just trying to help, Stuart. Are you guys okay otherwise?" They nodded. "Good. So here's the thing," Stuart said as they sat down. "We've got Steve Hahn in another room, and I need to see your evidence." "No problem," said Kylie. "Problem is that I don't have my laptop here.
but Misha can log in through his computer. You still have his laptop, right?
Stewart picked up his phone and called someone. Within minutes, there was a polite knock on the door, and a young agent laid Misha's computer on the table.
That should work, said Misha, sounding thrilled to reconnect with his computer.
He sat down at the table and logged into OMG with Kylie leaning over his shoulder.
Kylie directed him to report on Han.
Here, she pointed.
Hans has the encrypted folder right here on his desktop.
When Misha cracks this open, it's most likely going to be the same one that Jerry Fox and Simon had, as well as Lily Harriman. This folder probably has everything on the lethal virus.
Misha broke in. Yes, if it's like the other ones, it will have the formula, all the drug sequencing and the release plan, everything.
We've got the vial that was in Lily's cooler. I also want to make sure that there aren't any more, said Stewart.
Kylie nodded and moved to another chair where she would still have a clear view of what Misha was doing.
This may take me a minute, said Misha, who was focused with laser attention on Steve Hahn's desktop files.
He found the Lily folder and began typing in a series of numbers and symbols that made no sense to Kylie.
After about 5 minutes, Misha looked up.
If this is right, Boston is a test. It looks like Lily had another vial and planned to auction it.
Let's see, said Stewart.
Misha scrolled down a bit.
Here, he pointed.
Looks like they planned to demo it in Boston so that buyers will see its power. If there's another vial, we're still not safe.
Does it say where they're going to release it? When? Is anyone else involved? Stewart asked.
It doesn't, said Misha.
Han's here, so why don't you ask him?
That's the plan. I'll need my laptop back, if I may.
Stewart picked up the computer.
Sure, said Kylie. Or if you want, we can put the report on a thumb drive, and you can have it.
I have a better idea, he said. How would you put the whole program on a thumb drive, and you show our tech team how to use it?
Kylie gulped.
OMG was her baby that she had paid with a good chunk of her trust fund in 6 months of her life to produce. Did Stewart expect her to just hand it over?
Reinstadt had already agreed to pay $250,000, but then he hadn't signed anything yet.
Of course, I'm happy to help, she said, but you should know that it cost me a small fortune to get it developed. Is there any chance of getting reimbursed?
Stewart's eyes danced with amusement. And the sky is going to start raining unicorns. You should know that you could be looking at a jail sentence for hacking, my dear. Are you sure you want to go down that road?
We're still watching you both very carefully. You're very lucky that I haven't locked you up.
Stewart, it's obvious that we're trying to help here, and no, I don't want to go down any road that leads to jail. I'm just saying that it would be really nice to get something for it. After all, I developed this program, and you obviously see its value for solving crimes.
Kylie, don't you read the news? If you're going to invent something, it needs to be so far beyond anything that's out there. I mean, we have international hacking events now on a regular basis.
I know that, but that isn't technology that's available to most people. I didn't design this for espionage, although it's not bad, is it? And it's obviously better than anything that you have now, or you wouldn't want it.
Without it, I wouldn't have been able to give you all this information, right? She managed a grin, which he hoped was appealing.
I suppose. You do have a point, but a minor one. Stewart rolled his eyes towards the ceiling, as if consulting someone upstairs.
God help me, I doubt it, but I'll see what I can do, he said. Meanwhile, let's table the money thing. I want you to talk to our tech director.
I have it on a thumb drive already, she said, retrieving it from her wallet and waved it in the air. But can we be there when you interview Han?
Nope. You two monkeys sit tight. I'm going to send Jason in here to get you, and you can work with him and install this thing so that you can have your laptop back.
Gee, thanks, said Kylie.
Stewart left Kylie and Misha.
Kylie set her elbows on the table and sunk her head into her hands, feeling her gauze bandage between her fingers.
I can't believe that they're just going to walk away with OMG.
You don't know that for sure. It might be okay. The thing is that it worked and we helped prevent a horrible disaster. All I wanted was to help people make good decisions. I never intended to get involved in this kind of craziness. Do you realize how much money I put into developing this program? It's all from my savings. Well, actually, my trust fund. I didn't want a regular job, but it looks like I blew that too, since now I'm going to have to get one so that I can support myself. I planned this as a lean startup, but this one is anorexic. I always dreamed of doing something exciting and meaningful. I don't think I'm asking a lot, do you? Before Misha could answer, a portly man, his mid-40s, rushed into the conference room, his belly bulging over his khaki pants. Hi, guys, he said. I'm Jason. Come with me and bring the program. We'll get this baby cooking. Kylie and Misha followed him down a hall to a dark room filled with five guys intently working at their desk computers with one oversized monitor on the wall. Jason sat them down at his desk with large double monitors. His red face and balding head glowed from the screens. You have something for me? He held out a pudgy hand to Kylie. Indeed, she presented the thumb drive with a slight bow. Jason installed it, and Kylie walked him through the program. Great job on this, he said, clicking around to the different functions. It was supposed to be able to open encrypted folders, but it doesn't always work. That's where I come in, said Misha. Okay, let's take it for a spin, said Jason. Kylie and Misha spent the next hour training Jason. When they were done, Jason returned Kylie's thumb drive to her and marched Kylie and Misha back to the conference room. I'll let Stuart know that you're here, he said. I hope you kids have a good Thanksgiving. Thanks, you too, said Kylie. She turned to Misha when Jason closed the door. What are you doing for Thanksgiving? Not much. I don't have family here. I came for school and stayed, so it's never been something I did. That's too bad. Have you ever gone to a Thanksgiving? Not really. He looked at his shoes, appearing boyish and vulnerable. Maybe it was the Vicodin, but underneath Misha's bravado was something melancholy and sweet. It suddenly appealed to her. He wasn't as tough as he pretended to be. And what if she had lost him to Lily's viciousness? Before she knew what was coming, Kylie blurted out an invitation to Thanksgiving with her parents. Just as a friend, of course, she rushed. And I should warn you, my family is pretty strange. It's fine, he said with a slight bow. It would be my honor. Anyway, how strange could they be if they produced you? Ha! Just be prepared, she said. They were discussing details when Stuart returned. You kids are free to go, he said. We have a confession. And by the way, they found your laptop in Han's office at Visiozyme. She turned and high-fived Misha. Fantastic! She sat back in her chair and closed her eyes, as if saying a silent thank you. She felt jubilant, but then remembered that there could be more of the virus out there. Did you find any more vials? Possibly. It turns out that Lily stored the virus with her uncle. He has an herb store just across the street from her bubble tea place. Your instincts were right to sense something was off and your photo was useful. You were right. He was the man who was standing across the street from you. She had gone down there to retrieve the vial from her uncle. We got her cell phone log, and the uncle had called her just minutes before you encountered her in the back of the shop. He must have been standing watch and was trying to warn her. Some of our officers were still down there, and they found him getting into his car. What we don't know is if this was all of it. We're searching his place. I knew he was involved by the creepy way he was watching me, said Kylie. So it's possible that we're still not safe. We're not sure if there's anyone left to release it, or if the uncle has hidden it, or if there's really any more of the virus. Stuart knotted his brows. What did Han say? Asked Kylie. At first, he was Mr. Innocent and denied everything. Then we showed him the folder that we had from his computer, and we got a full confession. What a relief. Did he say why he did it? Yeah. Fox hired Han to do the project, and Han brought Simon into it to do some of the coding. Later, Lily stole it and it somehow got tied up with her divorce from Michael Harriman. She had told him that if he didn't give her what she wanted, she was going to do something diabolical and blame it on him. But it was much bigger than just something to blackmail her ex-husband. Fox planned to release it in Boston as a test to demonstrate its muscle so that he could sell it to foreign governments. Hahn said that as far as he knows, there were only two vials, but we aren't ruling out the possibility that there might be more. He didn't work in the lab, he only helped design the virus. If they planned on selling them, why would they make just two? Are you sure there was no one else involved? Kylie asked. No, we're not sure. It is a possibility, especially if there's more. As far as Fox, we do know that a while back, there was also some sort of stock takeover going on at Visiozyme. There must have been something going on between Fox and Lily if he named the thing after her. Hahn thinks that Fox was trying to buy the company to make it a leader in chemical weapons instead of prescription drugs. Your poor buddy Simon was just a flunky who knew too much. Unfortunate. What about the ex-husband? Asked Misha. We've got him in for questioning, and he's filling out a statement now. It appears that Lily gave him a really rough time. She sounded like a piece of work. Although he wasn't involved in any of this, he wasn't exactly displeased about the outcome. I've never seen a guy so happy to see his ex-wife dead. There's going to be a press conference later. Are you two up for coming for a photo? Kylie and Misha looked at each other. Sure, they said in unison. But are you going to say the case is solved? What if there are other vials? Asked Kylie. Stuart extended his chin and scratched it. We'll work on the spin on this. There's no proof that there's more of the virus floating around, so I'm pretty sure that this is the end of it. We can't be scaring people unnecessarily, although we have to be cautious, of course. I'll see you at 3 at the State House. Kylie shot Misha a worried look. He raised his eyebrows in response as they filed out of the lobby where Misha could retrieve his gun. Do you want to hang out with me until press conference? I have to go back and get my car, so maybe you could come too, he asked. Sure, but no bubble tea, thanks.